Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Thursday, family, and welcome to Thursday night's business meeting for Yah's Global Kingdom. We are in the bylaw review, and we will be discussing discipline on tonight, community discipline, what the scriptures require and tell us to do concerning how we handle behavior today, supposed to handle behavior as part of a community. I pray that everybody has had a blessed day and that the Most High has been with you and kept you safe, kept your loved ones safe from all hurt and harm. These are trying times. And, you know, the world is busy. We got people who are conflicted, don't know which way to turn. We pray that they turn toward the Most High. He is our salvation in every aspect beyond a shadow of a doubt, and we just need to know and believe that. Count on Him. So no matter what you may be going through, no matter where you may see yourself at in life, know that the Most High, it is His desire that you should be saved and that you should live in the kingdom at peace with Him. That is His desire. He would not that any should be lost, but it's each and every person's choice to make themselves available to the kingdom. So we pray that whatever you may be looking for, Yah knows, and we pray that you receive what it is that you're looking for. And I pray that it's the kingdom for everyone. All right, this is an official meeting, so I'm going to open up the mics for all that are here, and as people join in, I will open up the mics, and prayerfully, they will participate. If they join in to this meeting, it's a must that they participate, can't be silent, as it is a voting meeting. And right now, I'm going to say shalom to my sister Denise, to my sister Mary, and to my sister Lorraine. Shalom, family.
Shalom, Brother Mal.
All right, amen. As people join in, you know, as I was telling one of the sisters on, what's today, Tuesday, you know, a lot of people that hadn't been calling in called in on Tuesday, and I was kind of surprised. A lot of people I hadn't seen in a minute, but, you know, I pray that they are prayerful and that they are returning after we finish with the law, because as I said, when we start teaching that law, all those law keepers seem to fade away. But it's all good. It's all good. We're going to still keep the law, statutes and commandments.
Amen.
We'll still teach them and preach them and hold people accountable to them. Is the word of the Most High. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion that we bring this, that we start this meeting, that we bring this meeting into good grief, I'm having a brain dump here. I make a motion that we officially call this meeting to order. Do I have a second?
I second it.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 All right, aye. All opposed? Amen. The ayes have it. All right, this meeting is officially open. And on tonight, there's a few things that I want to talk about. We're going to be talking about discipline, but I want to give a couple of updates to some things that have been going on. I did send out, you know, the normal weekly update on the hydroponics this afternoon. Should be out there in your email available. And I sent it to your email, and I sent it to text. I have been working on a shed, and the shed is in, and but the next couple of days here is mostly rain. It's been raining quite a bit here, more so than usual. So I'm not going to work on it because of the storms and everything that are projected. Can't get up a piece of the wall and then come out in the morning and find out it blew away. I'm not going to start on that aspect of it. I built the base and, you know, got it all fleshed in and stuff, watertight, sealed, so that in the future, it, you know, it won't get wet on the inside, but anything exposed to the outside, if it gets wet, it'll just land on this metal and drain, you know, drain away from it. Also sent out pictures to the grow room. I moved the strawberries that were on the outside to the inside and put them inside of a grow room, which is a separate, it's a separate room that it's a kit that you buy that it has reflective walls on the inside, and so it causes the light to shine all over the room and to hit every aspect of the plant. And so I put the strawberries in there. Want to see if I can get them to get larger than what they're getting. You know, some of them are starting to become on decent size, but, you know, I'm looking on the internet, and I'm like, they're nowhere near some of the size I'm seeing some of these in these videos. And so want to play around with them and see if I can get them to be like a real handful, a real big strawberry. So we're, you know, we'll continue to play. I changed, you know, the nutrients to try to get them to, you know, to be more receptive to flowering. I'm still having to deal with how am I going to get them to the flowers to pollinate, since, you know, if they're on the inside, then I'm not letting any bees in. I could open up the windows to the sunroom, but I don't want to have to get in that routine of opening them and closing them every day. If it became a must, you know, I can actually have this room just like a unscreened porch if I wanted to. You know, I can just, the floors, when I had it put in, I put in tile floor, so, you know, if water gets on, it's not an issue. It'll drain out, but I don't really want to utilize a room that way. So I, you know, there's some fans that I bought that I'm supposed to use. I will set them up to sort of, the plants need some type of breeze blowing on them anyway. It actually helps them to be strong, as you know, part of their swaying in the wind actually is it's actually required. So I will put something in there. Let us go ahead and do our statement of faith and pray in, and then I will continue on this because I will get lost and not do these things. So let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Wherever you're listening, whether you're in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, we greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Whether you're on the North American continent, the South American continent, the African continent or the European theater, the Far East, or in Russia, Finland, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Our statement of faith: I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this day, hallelujah, because truly he is worthy of all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. Hallelujah to you, Yah. Glory to your name, Father. We lift you up and we magnify you, Father. We're just so thankful, Father, that you would allow us to be in your presence, Father, and we just want to spend adoration on you and to glorify you and to bring you glory, Father, to present you to men and to people that they might come and serve you, Father, and love you as we love you, Father. We just thank you, Father, on today for your mercy and for your grace. Hallelujah to you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 10,000 praises to you, O Yah, our Elohim. 10,000 praises to you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. Our scripture reading for tonight will come from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right.
Amen.
To continue with the updates, I want everybody, I've come up with a name for the land, but I actually want the body, members of the body, to think about a name. And I'm going to say, I'm going to give you a week at the most. If you have a name that you would, you know, think would be good as for a name of a farm, I want you to submit it to me in email. Okay, submit it to me in email. A name for the farm. The name that I have come up with that I'm going to submit myself is Jeshurun Farms. And it's actually pronounced Jeshurun Farms. And it is a, Jeshurun is the name for righteous Israel. That is Israel's righteous name. And so if you look it up in the scripture, you will find Jeshurun, pronounced Jeshurun. And I want to name it Jeshurun Farms. Now, that is not in stone. And so if you want to submit a name for the land, then I'm opening it up at this point in this meeting. We will bring it up next week. I will ask for those names. If anyone comes up with any, submits any. And we will put it to a vote as a group as to what the name will be. And then whatever name we decide upon, then I will go and actually officially, you know, get the business license in that name so that it's official as the farm so that if we decide to sell anything, you know, trademark and all that kind of stuff, on the microgreens and that kind of stuff, I want to, everything has to be legal. So I would, whatever name we decide on, you know, as a body, then we will adopt that name and I will go and make sure and see that if it's available. And if it is, then we will purchase it, the license for it, and also the trade name for it. So that it's official. It will be a subsidiary of Yah's global kingdom. Just as the land will be in the name, it will eventually be in a trust fund in the name of Yah's global kingdom. It is never to pass from the trust fund, you know, so nobody in the future can just come in and take it. You know, as I said, we're trying to do a work that is going to even last longer than we are. So when we all go to sleep, if Yah calls us back, you know, I don't want this to be something that when Brother Miles dies, it dies. Or when, you know, we start to pass away, that it dies. But that, you know, there's community and that it will continue until Messiah's return. That is the goal, and that's what we are endeavoring to do. So, you know, we don't want to just do something for the sake of doing it, but we do want to do something that is meaningful, that is going to meet the needs of our community, and, you know, and further than that, any other communities that the Most High has us to open. I have started working on putting down and writing the official description of what this is about, so that in the bylaws, we will append it to the bylaws for Yah's Global Kingdom as an amendment to, and any properties purchased that they will become the property of Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry, not even for Brother Miles, but as a trust fund, and then anybody coming onto the land, taking part in the land and in the community and communities, because I do believe there's going to be more than one, that, you know, they understand that they are coming, this is what they're agreeing to. And some of this I'm still working on, you know, because people, you know, I want to make sure that when people get involved and they give, that they understand that they're just not throwing their money away or into something, and they are not vested in it. You know, I could ask for just donations. And in a lot of things, I am just going to just ask for donations, because I don't want the world to have access. But at the same time, you know, people who throw themselves into this, I want them to have a stake in the land. I want, you know, their descendants to have a stake in the land. But, you know, it has to be their descendants that are going to follow in their footsteps. You know, we don't want it to where we all know how family can be. And so we know that what we're trying to establish is a community where we live by the statutes, the laws, the commandments, and the ways of the Most High. And so when you know, if I say, okay, if you vest in this, then you get X amount of land, you can't sell it, but I want to make a way where you can leave it to a descendant, okay, and they can't sell it. It will never be able to leave the possession of Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. It will always be up under that management. But to, you know, come and have, be able to live, be able to have a place where the goal is that, you know, you don't need, you won't necessarily need money on the land. Your housing, your food, your utilities, that all will be taken care of as part of the community. Anything else, you know, we will, I was kind of dreaming about this last night, as I was thinking on this name, that I still don't want the world to actually know about this, for the reason that, you know, the world has a habit anytime, quote unquote, and I know we're a mixed group, but anytime that they see that a black man is trying to do something, and especially, you know, build community and thrive, they have a way of trying to come against it with a vengeance. If history repeats itself, they have, there's probably been, this has probably happened at least 8 times where, you know, black communities were established and then the white community came against it. You know, and so we are in different times. We are in, but, you know, to say that we're in different times is not to say that we're in better times. Mm. It's just that we know what the history is. And as the Most High told me, anything that, you know, no good general tells, you know, tells his war plans to the enemy, that's just stupid. That's just stupid. So, you know, we're not trying to... I go out there on the internet and I see where other brothers are not just attempting but doing the same thing. And the truth of the matter is I don't even want to be out there on the internet saying that this is what we're doing. Mm. Because the bottom line is the government and the nations, they just have a way of trying to find holes, trying to find ways to come and tear you down. And so, you know, we want to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as what? Doves. This is what we're commanded to by Messiah, that we be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. And so, you know, my military background, my business background, my spiritual background with the Most High, everything is saying, no, you don't advertise everything that you're doing. So, you know, we're not going to advertise, and I'm not even telling those people who aren't involved where this is at. And when I put in the description, it's just going to be somewhere in northern Arizona. Where that's at, you know, as I said, you have to be vested in it to find that out. Other than that, they're not going to find out where the land is specifically. I will be, as I said, I'm doing the write-up, the mission statement, the vision, adding, you know, the pictures and stuff where it needs to be, so that you know, we can see the video that I've already done. But when I go back up, I won't go back up until the spring. After it gets a little warmer, because right now it's almost like it is in Minnesota. Not quite that bad, but for me coming from this desert, it's just as bad.
No. It's hot. It is cold here.
Yeah, no, it gets, you know, I don't see where it gets below zero up there, but it does get down in the teens.
Oh, okay.
So, and it does get snow. It is up in higher elevation. So, you know, you get the four seasons, but, you know, the thing that I guess is different than here in the valley, it doesn't get as hot. And it does have more so of the four seasons. But they are, you know, they're shorter. You know, winter time is shorter than it's going to be up north. The summer and the springs are a little bit longer, and they're not as hot. When it, you know, here in the valley, it can get, it, you know, when I got here in 93, the 3rd of March, 93, it was 105 degrees, the 3rd of March. And I was like, you know, it ain't no way in hell we're staying here. And then 3 years later, it got down to 85 and I was cold. I said, well, there's no way we're leaving, because I've been where it's cold at. And if I'm getting cold at 85 degrees, then, you know, there's something wrong. I'd have become too acclimated to the heat. The land is, you know, as I said, it's good land. It is good soil, according to everything that I've, you know, researched on it, and the papers have to tell you, you know, what type of soil you're dealing with, what the water tables are, and that kind of stuff. And so I have a real good idea of what, you know, what we're dealing with weather-wise and soil-wise. The growing season won't be as long as it is here in the valley. You know, the winter time won't last as long as it does up north. So, it's good. And, you know, no worries of hurricanes or tornadoes or any of that kind of stuff. That's the one thing I love about here. You know, you get some dust storms, and then up north, You'll get some pretty good thunderstorms, but we don't typically get tornadoes. So none of the big things, like I was looking at Kansas at one time, or Missouri, or Wyoming, and so I looked at Wyoming, I looked at Montana, I looked at Kansas, because, you know, the government has free land that they will give you. But, you know, there's a reason why they're giving it away free. It ain't easy on that land. And it is extremely harsh, you know, during, let's say, like the winters. Or the springtime and the fall, you get, you're subject to a lot of tornadoes. I've lived in Tornado Alley and, you know, got to the point where I could look at the sky and predict whether we're going to have a tornado or not. I don't want to live up under that either. So this area, you know, like when I lived on the East Coast in Florida and in South Carolina and in Virginia, you always had the potential for hurricanes. And hurricanes, you know, if they hit you, then they just destroy everything. And it is 10, 15, 20 years before they even get close to being rebuilt back. And you're subject to get hit again. I remember when I was stationed in Biloxi, Mississippi. And I can't remember the storm that came through there, but it destroyed all of the Gulf Coast down there. And then, you know, then they had to go through that process of rebuilding. And then 15 or 20 years later, you know, they got the tourism back and all that kind of stuff. And then another storm came through and did the exact same thing. And so having to be in a place where you're having to rebuild all the time, that's not any fun either. So I'm just leery of going that route. You know, even though the weather, I love the Gulf Coast and I love the fishing. And where I'm at is the furthest from probably fishing you can almost get from the ocean. But that's why they make planes and cars if you want to go do those things. So that is my mindset these days on that, anything like that, you know, I would just have to travel to go do it, or anybody involved would have to travel to go do it. There is freshwater fishing. I'm just not a freshwater fisherman. I will do it because it exists, but, you know, it's not my love. Anyway, that's off the subject. Those are the updates concerning the land. I will, like I said, around Passover, I really wanted to meet there for Passover in the closest town and then, you know, go stay on the land for a couple of days, whether it's in tents, you know, camping out, do Passover up under the stars. But then I also understand whether it's vehicles or some other mechanism, you know, we have no control over Mother Nature. We have to pray to the Most High that He would keep it what? The weather good. Because I put up a tent here that I use for tabernacles. And I, you know, and then I left it up because I wanted to see how it fared, you know, through the different seasons and the weather and the sun, just to see for that particular type of tent. I like the tent. But I wanted to see how it fared in the weather and if it could stand up, you know, to the winds and to the rain. And it did good for almost a complete year, almost, just a month short. And then there was a series of storms that came through. I put an additional heavy tarp over it and, you know, stake that down to see if I, you know, could make it stronger, make it where it would be able to survive it. But it actually, it had no chance in that storm. And so, you know, as I said before, got to be wise. But I do want to, you know, spend, you know, Passover. I will, if it's just me, spend Passover on the land. That's my desire, to spend Passover on the land, go up there, I'm take my tent. I have a couple of tents. I wanted to bring some of you down and have you spend it there. You know, we walk the land. You know, one of the things that the Most High has shown me that anything that you want, you know, you have to claim it. And so I want to go back and walk the land and claim it for the Most High, claim it for the kingdom. I didn't do it when I bought it, when I went up and purchased it. Didn't have time to do it, but, you know, go back up and walk the land and dedicate it to the Most High, to the kingdom. And, you know, ask him specifically that he look over the land so that we have favor in all that we do there. If the Most High is looking out for it, and I don't think that he just looks out for Israel, that belongs specifically to him. But I also believe with everything in my heart that if we ask him to look out for the land and to bless it and to look over it like he's looking over Israel, because his people are here, and we're going to honor him and we're going to serve him on this land, that he will do it for us. And we will just have favor, period. And I really believe that with all my heart. He has, whatever I have asked, he has done it for me. And so I don't think that this is going to be any different. To give us favor in on the land, that it has his blessings, that he's going to protect it, he's going to watch over it. And then we got to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do. It's the bottom line. You know, and, you know, I believe in the scriptures when, the Most High, when he said there's sin in the camp, he will leave because of one person. And that's what the scriptures bear out. And so we have to make sure that, you know, we're all walking upright before him. Because he's, anything that he says don't do, when the brother took the cursed thing from AI, he took the gold and the silver from AI, the Most High. No, he took it from a different place. But when they went up against AI, you know, they lost like 36 men, and nobody was supposed to die. And they lost 36 men. And the Most High said, there's sin in the camp. And he says, I won't be with you until you remove these accursed things. And so we have to understand as a people, first of all, that we believe that the Most High exists, and that we truly believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But he's also keeps his word. And so what he has done in the past, he will do again. We just have to call on him for it and believe, truly believe. So this is where we're at with the land. Again, you won't, you know, I will put pictures up that I took that I haven't posted yet. I will post the videos that I posted of the land. And I'm going to do the write-up for the community, the vision, the mission, the vision statement. Quasi a plan of how we plan to get to where we're trying to go. But the end of it is, you know, as an overview without, you know, a lot of details, is we want to be able to live on the land, and we want everybody to contribute to, they're working on the land, they're providing a service or something. For whatever we're receiving. You know, you can't just come and just live and don't work. That doesn't work. And so, whatever we have to learn to do, whatever, you know, needs to be done, then we are committed to doing it. You know, and as far as you're capable, you know, I can't ask somebody that has arthritis and, you know, can having a hard time walking and that kind of stuff to come and get out in the field. But there's something they can do. And then, you know, as we get older, then we know that we start to break down, and eventually we get to where we can't really go out and do that type of stuff. But at the same time, there's still something we can do. So this is where we're at. So I'm going to write it up, and I'm going to try to make it to where it's descriptive enough. There will be a separate document that, you know, with details of everything for members of the community. Because, you know, we don't want to leave anything to chance. We don't want to leave anything just open and not thought about. Because, you know, Murphy's Law, whatever can go wrong will go wrong, especially if you don't plan for it. If you don't plan, you're failing to plan is planning to fail. And I know that for a fact. So, you know, I try to be pretty thorough. I don't say that I think of everything, cover everything, but in as much as possible, I try to. And, you know, it can't just be me alone. You know, I'm not trying to be an island unto myself. It has to be community. That's why we, you know, if you're going to buy into it, you have to buy into it for real, for real. Because it just takes that type of commitment. So, you know, I didn't see myself doing this years ago, but the most I put it on my heart to do it. And that's where I'm headed, period. So nothing else to do with the man besides the name. If you have a name, think of, you know, the most I puts on your heart, or you just want to throw it into the cap. As I said, bring it next week or email it to me, either way, and we will vote on it. Right now, what I have is Yesharun Farms as the name for the land, and it will be a subsidiary of Yah's Global Kingdom Ministries, and it will be the first of many communities, according to what the Most High said. So, you know, we will ascertain to obtain more land to bring in more people who are of the like mind, who are committed, who know that and understand and desire to live by the commandments of the Most High, to live that lifestyle as a way of life, to spread the gospel, because that's one of our main duties, responsibilities. And you know, that's first and foremost, because that's, you know, the mission that he gave to us, go into all nations. And it doesn't matter how we got here, whether it was through slavery, through the Nino, the Penta, and the Santa Maria, through an airliner, whether we were born in the land. The truth of the matter is, the Most High says, in every nation, those that fear him are accepted with him. Those that fear him. Because if they fear him, they're going to keep his commandments. And it doesn't matter nationality. Doesn't matter bloodline. Doesn't matter, you know, anything else except for you desire to serve him in truth and in spirit. So we're living in nations where, you know, we're up under the national law of that nation, but we still have the freedom within the United States to worship the Most High and to serve him as he has said. And if we don't do it, then we are not doing it because we just don't want to do it. Just that simple. We just don't want to do it. So that's not my heart. That has never been my heart with the Most High. It's always been to serve him. And the more he allowed me to know, the more committed I became. The more I want to do what it is that he says in the scriptures. And as I had the ability to do, I have done. So this is what we are are doing. On tonight, discipline in the bylaws, and discipline according to the scriptures. The body is committed to biblical discipline in order to prepare a spotless bride for Yeshua, for his return, to maintain holiness as a way of life, to restore the sinning person to a right relationship with Yah, and to expose sin so that it will not become a polluting influence in the rest of the body. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, which we read, it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We want to correct that behavior, especially when it's in the body. We can't control the world. And so the world's going to do what the world's going to do. But as the body of Messiah, we are commanded that we have no dealings, no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That we're not out there doing everything that they're doing. That we don't live for that. And that when we come across it amongst ourselves, that we correct it. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. The book of Ephesians.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
He might have dropped. He probably a call back in.
Okay.
I think so.
How your sisters doing?
Doing pretty good.
Good. How are you?
I feel a little better, Nisa. I mean, it ain't quite back right, but I feel a little better.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Shalom.
Shalom.
How's everybody doing?
Everybody's pretty good. How you doing?
I'm blessed. Can't complain. I'm doing good.
I know. You can't complain. Why complain? It don't do no good no way. Only makes you miserable. Right. That's why I said it only make you miserable.
And then what can they do?
Exactly.
I wonder if he all mute and talking.
Not probably, most likely, no.
Well, I will be right here until he gets back.
You know what I did, Mary? You know I'm always trying to do stuff right.
Right.
I had an orange, and you know the stem just I cut the orange in half, like in the stem that
right.
They still in there. I left it in there, put some coconut oil in there, and now I'm burning it like a candle.
Oh. Oh, go ahead, old Nisa. How is that working?
So far, it's doing pretty good. It ain't went out yet. I want to see how it smells, see what
right.
It smells like.
Right. Well, go ahead, old Mr. Nisa, with your creative
smell
self.
Smell citrus. Smell like orange.
Oh, I bet that smells good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I ate my tangerine.
I did too, but I'm just saying.
Oh.
I'm using the peel, the peel, because I cut it in, you know, cut it in half, and I tried to get that stem, you know, the stem that's in it.
Pour it
got
in
that
the
out of it. Yeah.
And that's what you're using for the wig?
Yep.
And some coconut oil.
Yep.
You go ahead on, girl. I tell you, you are creative, honey.
You look pretty good, too.
I bet that does. That coconut oil and that orange peel.
Oh, yep.
You about to make me go in the garbage
like
and get my orange peels.
Like a candle.
I'm gonna have to next orange. That's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And it smells pretty good. It smells real good. I'm like,
I got coconut oil.
Huh?
I got coconut oil.
Yeah. And just put it in there for the burn.
Right.
Yep.
Oh, with your bad self, Niecy. Oh, creative Niecy.
You know I'm always trying. So I'm like wondering what this gonna do. I wonder if I do what this gonna do.
What'd happen if I do this?
Right.
As long as I ain't moving, my back ain't hurting.
So far,
I start walking.
Right.
It'll start back to hurt. And tell me, sit down.
And so far, it's doing pretty good.
Go on with your bad self.
Y'all keeping an eye on it. In case it wouldn't explode. I'm like, okay, I can't do that. Well, so far, it's doing pretty good.
What'd you say, in case you get a oops?
Right. And it really smells good. Got the room smelling real good.
I bet it do with them orange peels and that coconut oil. You know, I forgot to give you your dish.
What dish? Oh.
You cooked to put the pie
I forgot.
In.
I had to have the salt in the car, too, and left it in the car. I got up to Major's because I took all the bags up to Major's house, and I think, this supposed to have been at Mary's. Like, oh, well, she'll get it next time.
All right, then.
Because I sure had you some apple salt in the bag.
Bless your heart. You ever know, run me some more water after we get through a class and sit in that water for about an hour.
I'm going to hang up and call Brother Miles because something happened.
Yeah, something done happened.
Because he normally be gone this long.
Right. Go ahead, call him, Lisa.
All right, so.
Shalom, sisters.
Shalom.
Hello. Okay,
hello.
I was just going to say, don't y'all hang up because she'll catch him.
Okay.
All right.
Can anybody hear me?
I can hear you.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, Brother Miles said that the system kicked him out and it won't let him back in, and it still has him in as a host. So he said, call, hang up, and call back in about 10
Sister
minutes.
Denise, can
okay.
you hear
Hello?
Me? Can anybody hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can hear
yes.
you, bro.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, I called in on my cell phone as a guest. Somehow, my main phone number is stuck in Blog Talk, and I can't see how to hang it up. It won't disconnect, even when I'm not on it right now. But it was, you know, that's the enemy, for sure.
Yeah.
For the simple reason that I could hear you guys, and I don't know at what point you stopped hearing me, but I could hear you guys, but you couldn't hear me. And then when I tried to disconnect, because you said, hey, he probably dropped, trying to call back, and no, I hadn't dropped. I was still listening. I could hear what, you know, you guys starting to talk to each other. But
right.
my phone will not disconnect from Blog Talk so that I can call back in on it. So I've called back in on my cell phone. We'll proceed from here. I'll just do it this way. And, yeah, this is weird. It really is. Because, as a matter of fact, my phone, when I disconnected, my phone itself, my home phone line would just get it was just getting a fast busy. Wouldn't even get a dial tone. Just get a fast busy, was staying busy, but not even get a dial tone. And then I, you know, hung up for like 3 or 4 minutes and came back. It had a dial tone, but Blog Talk itself still thinks that I'm connected for whatever the reason. So there is something going on in their system. I don't know what it is, but I couldn't call back in as the host. Anyway, we'll go ahead and proceed from here. And I'm glad you all didn't hang up. And those that hung up, they called back in. We appreciate you. We're in Ephesians chapter 5. And if everybody, if you have, if you'll say amen.
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 Amen. Thank you. Isn't like
amen.
As soon as I asked you guys that, then I couldn't hear anything. Or you couldn't hear me, I don't know. Did you guys even ask me here to say go to Ephesians chapter 5?
Yes,
we heard that.
Okay, so as soon as I said, if you'll say amen to that, nobody could hear me.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so Ephesians chapter 5, we're talking about the discipline in the church, in the community that the scriptures would call for. Be ye therefore followers of Elohim as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to Elohim for a sweet-smelling savor, a smell. So we are to be, you know, Scripture says that we are to offer ourselves a living sacrifice, that, you know, we don't do animal sacrifices. Today, we are supposed to be the sacrifice, and we're supposed to sacrifice our lives to the gospel and to the kingdom, and we're to offer that to the Most High as our reasonable service, because you're just doing what's reasonable. I'm giving you eternal life. I'm going to give you blessings beyond blessings, and the least you can do is live a sanctified and holy life. So we're to be that sacrifice. And you couldn't bring just any sacrifice to the Most High. You had to, you know, that sacrifice had to be without blemish, without spot. You know, it couldn't have a broken leg or a broken horn or be blind, have been mauled by animals, anything like that. Couldn't bring it. So we're going to hold your finger right there. We're going to go get another verse. Let me get it right quick. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. The book of Romans chapter 12. And we're going to get verse 1. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 All right, thank you.
Amen.
I beseech you, therefore, amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, that you present your bodies a what?
Living sacrifice.
Living sacrifice.
A living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable unto Elohim. Which is what kind of service?
Reasonable.
Reasonable.
Yeah, your reasonable service. This, you know, I'm not. He's saying I'm not asking you to do a whole lot. I'm not asking you to do anything that is you know, unreasonable. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means that if any sacrifice given to the Most High has to be without what spot? It has to be without blemish. That means that we have to be doing all that we can do to live holy lives before him, clean lives before him. And we're to present ourselves because there's no more animal sacrifices. So we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Elohim, which is our reasonable service. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Okay, now it finally disconnected my other phone. It wants me to call back in. So let me call back in on this other phone before it tries to end the broadcast. Give me a hot second. All right, there's definitely something going on with this phone. Okay, we'll continue in this vein. Everybody's still there. I don't see anybody left yet. All right, are you still able to hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
going to hope that it doesn't, All right, thank you. I'm going to hope that it doesn't end the broadcast. If you can hear, I tried to dial back in. I'm getting a busy signal, but I'm getting a crazy busy signal. It's like an intermittent busy signal. So I wouldn't be surprised if somebody else is trying to listen. And not in a good way. Okay. Yeah, still busy. Yeah, there's something going on with the phone lines. Okay, we're going to see what we can do here. Okay, and I'll just operate it like this and see what happens. Okay, we were back at Ephesians chapter 5. And we're in verse 2. And walk in love as Mashiach or Christ also has loved us. And has given himself as an offering and a sacrifice to Elohim. He gave himself. We're supposed to be emulating Christ. emulating Mashiach. So he gave himself as a sacrifice. We are walking in his shoes, or supposed to be. We're supposed to offer ourselves as a what? Living sacrifice to Elohim for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh the saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Elohim, of the kingdom of Christ and of Elohim. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of Elohim upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in Yah. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto Yah. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So we have the context that we are supposed to be walking in the light and not in darkness. We are supposed to not be, you know, following after the world, you know, seeking to do what the same things that the world is doing. That we are ourselves supposed to be that living sacrifice, just as Messiah was. We are supposed to be becoming Christ-like. So as he offered himself, so are we to offer ourselves. But we don't have to go up on the cross. We have to dedicate our lives to him. We have to really truly believe and do what it is that he says to do. And we can't break his covenant. We can't walk in fornication or uncleanliness or in covetousness, wanting, you know, this, that, and the other, the things of the world. He said, let it not be named once among you. And that is the behavior that becomes the saints. So we want to live this thing. We want to, you know, not be up under the understanding that we can do everything that the world is doing. We want to understand that when we enter into relationships, they have to be according to the word of the Most High. That we stand right before him, because we're going to all have to stand before him sooner or later. And we want our works to be that we are clean before him, that we are unblemished. And he says this is our reasonable service. It's not unreasonable that he wants this. And so we, as, you know, have to understand this, and as we are endeavoring to set communities, we want this to be a standard in the communities, that everybody has this understanding that, you know, we are coming together. We are not trying to, you know, brother's not trying to sleep with every sister that he sees. The sister's not trying to seduce or sleep with every brother that she sees. We're not trying to have our young women out here, you know, just having sex outside of wedlock, nor our young men. We're not trying to, you know, teach them to be covetous, desiring the things of the world. But to, you know, be satisfied with those things that Yah blesses us with. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things I will add unto you. But we got to make the kingdom first. It has to be first in our lives. And as a community, we have to know and believe that and walk in that. It has to be, you know, a fundamental of everybody that's part of the body, so that we're all on the same page. We're not coming, you know, with different understandings, different mindsets. Got our own agendas. We got one agenda, and that's the agenda of the Most High.
Amen.
Any other agenda, we need to put it on the back burner. Because our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. And if we try to do what we want to do, yeah, we're going to be like, I want to be happy. I want to do these things. You know, I want to, these things are going to make me happy. But then when we really look at those things in the eyes of the Most High, they usually, number one, aren't going to be anything that are going to make us happy. Number two, they lead to spiritual death and to the lake.
Amen.
because, you know, it's typically to please this flesh.
Mm.
So we need his agenda. And he's given it to us. And he's told us how to, you know, carry it out. And he's telling us how to behave. And, you know, again, let's read this verse, because I want us to understand that, you know, people believe that there's a lot of leniency in the scripture. And again, they're taking these verses out of context. So I want to read this one verse. Let's read verse 3 again. And I want you to underline, let it not be once named among you, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be named once among you. That's not let it be named once and then, you know, I'm sorry, and you get a second try. He said, don't let it be named. How many times? Once.
One.
That's zero. Okay. And that's what we're supposed to be shooting for. Because we'll say, well, I'm human. The Most High knows we're human. Trust me, he knows. He made us. But he says, I made you, and then what I'm asking you to do is reasonable. So if we say it's unreasonable, then who is it unreasonable to? Right. And then we're saying that we don't really, you know, we're saying that we want the kingdom of the Most High, but we really don't want it. We're not willing to do what it takes to get it. And we want it, you know, handed to us on a platter, and he's not going to hand it to us on a platter. And he's not just giving it away. See, these are all falsehoods. They're false doctrines and they're false teachings. He's not giving, just letting any and everybody in. They have to meet the standard. And just saying that they believe in Christ, it says you shall be saved, but if you really believe in him, then you're going to do what he said to do. You got to do what he said to do. And he says, if you love me, keep my what? Commandments.
My commandments.
But he didn't make any new commandments. He said, the new commandment I give you is an old commandment, that you love one another. But that's not the only commandment that he gave. Yeah, that's not the only commandment or commands that are in the covenant. And so as we reviewed, again, you know, for those of you who weren't here for the review of the old covenant, I would really request, suggest that you go back and you actually listen to those, because we took the time and we actually went through the entire thing. And you'll be surprised what is in there that, you know, he says that people just don't keep. There are some things that are not applicable. We don't have the temple right now, the building, the temple, the altar. We can't make sacrifices, so that's out. Those animal sacrifices are out. Who's in? We are. And we're supposed to be what? That sacrifice. We're supposed to offer ourselves as that living sacrifice. The animal sacrifice is gone, but we're supposed to take their place by living clean and holy lives and sacrificing our lives that the world wants us to have for a life in the kingdom. This is what he wants from us. And he says, that's our reasonable service. That's a reasonable request from him. He says, I'm going to give everybody eternal life. But all of you who want to live over here with me and me to take away all your pain, take away all the negatives out of your life, this is what I require. And if you don't think that's reasonable, then it's something that you don't want. It's just that simple. It's not difficult. And people thinking that they're just going to walk in and it's going to say, come here, baby, it's okay. It's all, everything is okay. Enter in. That ain't happening. It's not written in the scriptures. Right. It's not written there. It's stuff that people are making up because people want to get in, but they don't want to do what it takes to get in.
Right.
They don't want to live the life that it takes to get in.
Right.
That's why he says to him that endures to the what? End.
Mm-hmm.
But what are they enduring? They're enduring living the life and fighting sin in their own life. In their own life. No, I can't do that. No, I can't go there. Yes, I must do this. This is right in the eyes of the Most High. That's the endurance that he's talking about. He's not talking about enduring, you know, that you believe in Messiah and that's all you got to do. Because the bottom line, he's telling us what to do. First starts with believe. First starts with hearing. He tells us in Romans chapter 10, he gives us the formula. You got to hear the word. Then you got to believe what you heard.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to do it. If you believe it, then you're going to do it.
Yeah.
That is the formula. How shall they hear without a what? Preacher.
Preacher.
Got to hear the word first. Then they got to believe it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Because if you don't believe, you're not going to get baptized, number one. But number two, if you don't believe, you're not going to do what he says to do anyway. You're going to do what you want to do.
Mm.
And so this is what he's telling us. Offer yourself that living sacrifice. And we know through the scriptures that, you know, if you go back and you study the animal sacrifices, the animals that he said to bring for a sacrifice, they had to be, number one, they had to be a clean animal. Couldn't bring a hog and offer it as a sacrifice. You couldn't bring a dog and offer it as a sacrifice. They were only the clean animals that the Most High would accept. He said a lamb, a goat, an ox. These are the acceptable sacrifices. And then within them, they had to be what? Clean. They had to be without blemish. Don't bring me something that got one eyeball. Don't bring me something that's got a broken leg and is maimed. Don't bring me something that, you know, is not as close to perfect as possible because you're presenting it to the Most High. So you have to take some thought. You have to look that animal over. Are you the best one in the bunch? Are you the best one that was available to me? Okay, give me that one. I don't see any blemishes on it. Yada, yada, yada. Well, he's looking at us the same way, but he don't expect us to die and be, you know, be burnt on the altar. He expects our life to be holy and pure before him. That we understand who we represent, and that our life reflect that, and we walk in that. Let's go to First Peter chapter 1. So we're not supposed to let this behavior be named once among us. So he's not saying don't be in a marriage. He's not saying don't be in a relationship, you know, but if you're going to be in a relationship, make sure that it's a suitable relationship. You know, men and women can be friends and not be sexually involved. But then if it comes to going there, then you need to do the right thing before the Most High. Don't just say, oh, we'll be friends with benefits. Okay, we got a lot of people doing that today. And they'll see what benefit is going to get them when it comes to Judgment Day. First Peter chapter 1, we're going to get verses 15 and 16. And we talked about this before, so it's kind of a repeat. And when you have, just say amen.
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 But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, we sort of stopped here before, And then I did the lesson on clean and unclean, holy and unholy. So we should have a pretty good understanding of what that means. It's not just, you know, being unholy in your mind, but the cleanliness laws go, you know, even to the type of emissions that we have from our bodies. If we have sex and or if we are involved with blood, there are things that we cannot do in regards to the word of the Most High. We cannot do them at that time until we make ourselves what? Clean. Until we make ourselves holy again. It is not anything that he said that we couldn't do. So we have to do what he said to do. We just have to understand what it is. And we should understand what being holy is now. So we're not running around willfully sinning. We're not running around, you know, touching things that we're not supposed to touch, and then I want to say not washing our hands, but not even regulating ourselves to say, okay, the Most High says, I'm unclean for this length of time. Because, you know, society will say, hey, you want to be clean? Just go and disinfect. Wash your hands and do this, and you're okay. So the Most High says there's also a time frame. And you got to do it all, because he says, you know, this is what he expects. He says that it's your reasonable service to do it. You want to be close to me? You want to come to me? You want to be around me? This is what I require. And when we're doing what we want to do and we're saying that the Most High is around us, a lot of people are just saying that. But he don't change, and he's doing exactly what he says he's going to do. And so when he says no unclean person shall enter into, has no inheritance in the kingdom, you know, people just think that, oh, that's just a sinful person. But then they're not even defining sin in the way that he's even defining it. Because you can't say that we are not up under the law and then say no unclean person is going to enter into the kingdom. And then say, if we're not under the law, then we have no sin. Then we can't be unclean. But wait a minute. He's telling the saints, you can't be unclean. So there is a method to this madness, and we can't just make it up. We got to go by what he says. So it's not just a matter of having a dirty mind. Because, yeah, you can do that and be unclean in his eyes. But he's also talking about, hey, if you are on your menstrual cycle, can't come into the sanctuary and do these things. You can't take part in anything that's holy. If you are a man, you've had emission of semen from your body, you are unclean at that time. You can't get into the pulpit. You can't be teaching. You can't be doing these things. You got to wait until you're what? Clean. Wash and wait for your time to come out of timeout. It ain't hard. He said it has to be done. Excuse me. So verse 16 again. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Did he tell the Gentile nations that? No. Who did he tell? Israel. But now who is he telling? Everybody that's in Messiah that wants to come close to him. His standards don't change. And see, the problem with this, with the problem with the New Testament as it is written, if you don't take the time to actually learn it, is to understand that the New Testament does not cover everything that's in the covenant. It doesn't cover everything that's in there. And so you have to go back into the old to see what was in the covenant, because that's the one he said, I'm going to write my laws in your heart. And I'm going to change a few things. But I'm not getting rid of my laws. I'm not getting rid of my statutes and my commandments. They're not being, they're not, you're not coming, being taken away from that, from having to keep those. These things I'm changing. These things I'm deleting because you don't need a sin offering anymore. You need it. Once you come up under that sin offering, once you come up under Messiah, you don't need any more sacrifice. You paid the price once and for all. But if you put yourself back up under, he says, if you did it ignorantly, you can confess that. If you did it willfully, he says, no, you can't confess that. You can confess all you want. He says, there's no more blood for that. There's no blood for that. And then we go back into Torah. We find out that it's exactly the way he was in Torah. So he doesn't change. It is men that have, you know, somehow changed what he's saying, taking some verses that are written and taking them out of context. And then they believe that, hey, we ain't up under the law. You know, we're just automatically holy. We can do no wrong. We can't sin. Are you crazy? What Bible are you reading?
I know.
But he says it. Right. It's like coming to a conclusion with, it's like coming to the conclusion with, how do I want to say this? Willful ignorance. Willfully forgetting what you don't want to include. You read the scriptures, but I don't want to include that. So we're just going to keep these scriptures right here, and we'll base a doctrine around that. But these scriptures over here contradict that. They modify that. So how can you just, you know, you want to take the scriptures and keep the ones that require you to do nothing? Because it says you're not saved by your works. And you're not saved by your works. But it says faith without works is what?
Dead.
Dead. So it's not your works that are saving you, but you still got to go through the process of what he says to be saved. So it's not just believing. Because he tells you have to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Well, you have to go through the process of getting in the water. The Most High will go through the process of filling you with his Spirit, because you can't just fill yourself with his Spirit.
Amen.
He has to do it. I mean, he has to choose you. That means your heart has to be right before him.
Amen.
And I'm not telling you something that I heard. I'm telling you what I know. Your heart has to be right before him for him to choose you. You can go through the motions. That's why he says, I'm a discerner of the heart. I can look into you and see what your intent is. I can look in you and see if you really love me. You don't have to really tell me. I want you to tell me, but I can look inside you and see if you're just saying something or if it really is true. So when he says many are called, the few are chosen, he's doing the calling and he's doing the choosing. And he's telling us what he bases it on. It's based upon your heart. He wouldn't call you if he didn't want to choose you. But because he called you don't mean that he's going to choose you. You got to hear and do what he said to do. So here's the difference. There are people that never hear the call to come to the Most High. What I'm talking about, they never hear it. They can hear the gospel, but they didn't hear the gospel. And they never do what it says to do. And they never come to him. And he never chooses them. And then there are those of us who we hear it, we do it, He looks at our heart and says, oh, yeah, you genuinely want me. It's in you. Now, once we learn that, you know what, we've been taught a lot of foolishness, that we have to undo in our lives, then we just have to do what we know to be right.
Amen.
We don't just continue in what we were taught because that's what we were taught. And we're comfortable with it. But we do that which we know is right because we understand, we hear, and we obey. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 5. Let's see. Yeah, let me speed this up a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to get verses 6 and 7, and I'm going to speed this up because we just, you know, had a horrific night with this phone system. And we're going to get verses 6 and 7. And when you have this, you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out therefore that old leaven, that you may be new, a lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Messiah was sacrificed for us, and we're to purge out the leavening in our life. The leaven that's in our life, but we are to be a leavening force. Salt. It says you are the salt of the earth. That's a leavening. You're supposed to make a change. You're supposed to cause a reaction. Supposed to be a cleansing force. Love is a leavening. It brings about a change. Sin is a leavening. So what he's talking about, the leavening that he says to purge out, is that what? Negative leavening. Those negative forces that spread in a body real easy. People are more apt to sin than they are to do good. And so if you get somebody, you know, you can be fighting this, you can be fighting the urges of your body. You alone. You don't have nobody in your life as far as a mate goes. And you are doing all that you know to do to stay clean and holy and not, you know, fornicate. And you can get around the wrong people, the wrong body, members in the body, and they are doing these things. And guess what? If you become weak, you will succumb to it. Well, you know, I see them doing, ain't nothing happening to them. I don't want to be alone the rest of my life. I have needs, too. I miss the hug. I miss the touch. But then there's nobody really available to get married to. The need is not going to go away. The desire is not going to go away. And then if everybody is doing it, there's a good chance if you stay, you will be doing it too. The final reason to make an excuse, oh, I can, you know, most I just going to have to forgive me. Because, you know, I hear people say that. Most I just going to have to forgive me. Mm-mm. No, he don't.
He don't.
He don't have to, and the fact that you know it's wrong, the scripture says he won't forgive you.
Amen.
Right. The scripture says it. He's not going to forgive you. He says, you deserve a worse punishment than that person that's ignorant, that don't know no better. You know better, and you still going to do it. He says, what worse punishment do you think you deserve? You know better, and you going to do it? Yeah, that one over there, they can say they didn't know. But you, on the other hand, that's a whole different story. You know better, and you're going to do it and say, I got to forgive you. Go see how hot that lake is. Tell me about it in 6 or 7, 8,000 years when I might listen to you, when I might hear your cry. I might, but the scripture says, no, it's going to be forever. Forever don't have a number on it. Has no number. It has the infinity sign on it. And the Most High says, you know, one day to me is like 1,000 years. So if I say you're going to be in there forever, you just figure out how many years that is while you're in there. But the truth of the matter is, you know, the church is teaching, I won't just say the church as a whole, I'm going to say the church, different denominations of the church are teaching what's convenient. And the truth of the matter is, you know, they're going to all be accountable. But it doesn't change, you know, it doesn't change the end place of that person, because he tells us all to study to do what?
Approved.
The way you study it, yes, that's not approved. F stand for fire. Don't stand for flunked. It means get into the lake of fire. So we can't do that. We have to remove the leavening. What is not like, what is that the Most High does not want, and what does he want? And whatever he doesn't want, if we find it in our lives, we have to remove it. We have to stop it. Sometimes that even means getting rid of some friends. Sometimes that means getting rid of some family.
Amen.
Sorry, but I can't come over there no more because, you know, all y'all about is getting high and getting drunk and trying to mess with each other. I'm not about that. Can't be around it. So we have to purge out that old leaven. And remember what the Most High says. Be ye holy, for I am holy. You want to be my child? You got to be like me. I'm holy, so you got to be holy. I mean, it's not real difficult what he's saying. Let's go to Joshua chapter 7. That's what it talked about this. The book of Joshua chapter 7. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. I'll give everybody else a couple of seconds to get there. We'll start in verse 1. Joshua chapter 7, starting in verse 1. Because just look how the Most High deals with this. And I, you know, when I was talking about community, I want you to also take that into mind when we read this and look at what the Most High is saying and doing, because he's telling us this is how he operates. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed things. And the Most High told them, don't take anything from these nations that they used to serve their gods. It was accursed. Anything that is used to serve another god, any type of entity, Anybody shows adoration to it, bow down to it, these sacrifices to it, he says, don't take part in it. I don't care what you think it's worth. If it's solid gold, you to destroy it. Don't take it. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebedee, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of Yah was kindled against the children of Israel. Wait a minute. One man specifically took of the accursed thing. Who was the Most High angry with?
The house of Israel.
The whole house of Israel.
Whole house.
Yeah.
All of them because of what? One man.
One man.
That's why I say we can't come together as a community and one of us is practicing sin.
Because
the Most High is going to be angry at who?
Everybody.
All of us. I want us to get this and understand it. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Haven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up. Now look at what they're, now watch what they're saying. They're going to Ai. Ai is a little bitty city. And they're saying, hey, don't send all of us up there. We don't all need to go up there to take that city. Hear the conversation. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor there, for they are but a few. So there went up there of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. Now, they sent 3,000. They said 3,000 should be enough to take this city. But their 3,000 end up what? Running. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men. For they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the people's hearts melted and became as water. Now the Most High has made Israel a promise. I'm going to go before you and fight in battle, and ain't none of y'all going to die. None of you. So they go up to Ai and 36 die. Did it just seem like the Most High lied? The people's heart melted. And they think that, oh, wait a minute, the Most High ain't keep his word. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of Yah until the evening time. And he and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Yah Elohim, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites? They think that this is the Most High's fault. He didn't keep his word. To destroy us, would to Elohim we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan rather than coming over here and trying to take this land. Oh, yeah, what shall I say when Israel turns their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us, surround us, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And Yah said unto Joshua, get up. Why? Why liest thou thus upon thy face? What are you doing laying down on your face? Yah can sort of hear it like, boy, what you doing down there? Get your behind up. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have seen, they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. So this is something that the Most High didn't leave them. He said, hey, my word can't stand because I told you don't have none of this stuff among you. Don't take it. Neither will I be with you anymore except you what? Destroyed the accursed thing from among you. Up. Get up. Sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. Go get cleaned up. Go wash. Sanctify yourselves. For thus, Yah Elohim of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which Yah taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which Yah shall take shall come by household. Household which Yah shall take shall come by man. Some will select the tribe that I know it's in. And y'all going to come by families. And y'all going to one by one come and say whether you get this thing. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be what? He shall repent of taking the accursed thing. What does verse 15 say?
Burnt with fire.
He shall be burnt with fire. Oh, he gets a chance to repent. No, not just him. He and what? All that he has. His wife, his children, his family, everything, him and everybody that's up under his authority. Because he has transgressed the covenant of Yah. That's why I said this covenant is very important. And when we say we come up under the new covenant is the old covenant with the same penalties. He just said, I'm making a day that I'm going to take out. I'm making a day that I'm going to hold everybody accountable for transgressing my covenant. Before, he would come like this. It was immediate. And because he's not coming immediate today, people think that it ain't going to happen. He says, no, I have, that's what the day of Yah is about, the day of the Lord, the day of Yah. That's what it's about. I'm coming, and I'm coming with a vengeance. And everybody that's in transgression, they're going to die. And then all those who have died and didn't go see the judgment, because see, people are being taught when they die, they either go to heaven or hell right then. That's not the truth. You go to sleep. You ain't going into heaven and you ain't going into hell until he resurrects you. And when I say by hell, I'm talking about what we describe traditionally as hell with the devil and the fire. No, you're not going there. Hell is the grave. And you're going into the grave, you're going to sleep. And then he's going to resurrect everybody. First, in the first resurrection, those that are qualified for the first resurrection, they get up. But they had to have suffered with him. And then the rest of the dead get up after 1,000 years. And then there's a great white throne judgment. And then he takes out his vengeance on all those people. The final vengeance, judgment, you transgress. You were in transgression when you died. You never repented. Go to the lake. You did all these works, yet was your heart not right before me? Go to the lake. You did everything I asked you to do, and your heart was right before me? Enter into my kingdom. Lake, 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 because the vast majority of the people go into the lake. That's the word. Because the vast majority of the people are not going to submit to him. Let's continue. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of Yah, and because he has worked folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning, brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. That's the one the Most High took, the tribe of Judah. He said, give me that tribe over there, bring them here. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites, man by man, and Zebedee was taken. And he brought the household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, of the son of Zebedee, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to Yah Elohim of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against Yah Elohim of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment with 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And he then took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and said unto the children of Israel, and laid them out before Yah. And Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? And Yah shall trouble thee this day. All of Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones until this day. So Yah turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor until this day. Now, what I want us to understand, number one, this man broke discipline. He broke the covenant. He stole something, a Babylon garment, some silver and some gold, hid it in his tent. The Most High said, only take those things from those nations that I tell you to take. Anything else, don't take it. Burn it in the street. He took this thing, and how many men died because he took it? 36. 36 men died in war because of what he did. Now, it don't say how many children he got. Don't say how many sons and daughters he has. But however many he's got, he ain't the only one that suffered. His wife, his children, because Mosiah said, hey, they had to know you buried that stuff in that tent. They had to be complicit in it. And they died also, burnt with fire. But what I want us to understand is the Most High don't change. If one of us we're in community and one of us is walking in sin and we do something we're not supposed to do, the Most High gets angry at us all. And if we all start suffering something, we need to start looking at each other, all right, who here is doing something they ain't supposed to be doing? Because Yah is angry. Now, we need to put that from among us. Is that simple enough? Am I talking to myself again? Okay. All right. What time is it? It is 7:56. Let's do a couple more verses, and then we will end for this week, for this meeting. So we understand that we're not to keep this around us. We're not to have anything that causes a little bit of leavening. A little bit of leavening leavens the whole lump. A little bit of sin comes in, and it will spread. But then, if we are doing the right thing, the Most High will be with us. And he will protect us. He will go out before us. He will give us favor in all that we do in dealing with this world. And at the same time, we're to what? Offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, just as Messiah did. We're to live clean and holy lives. And then if we're talking about as a body now, as a community, if there's sin amongst the community, the Most High doesn't just take it out on that person. He says, I'm not coming among you because there's something unclean among you. And we have to find out who it is, what it is. Okay. Division. This divisiveness, the divisive person shall be confronted according to the pattern outlined in First Titus, or in Titus chapter 3. Let's go to Titus chapter 3, because this is how we're supposed to confront anybody when we find this. Titus chapter 3. And when you have it, if you'll say amen. And we're going to get verses 9 through 11.
Amen.
And amen. Titus chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. And Sister Denise, Sister Mary, are you guys still able to hear?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on mute.
All right. Amen. Amen. Just making sure.
Because my clock keeps going off when I put it on mute.
Oh, amen. Brother Gary, you're probably at work, so it's probably hard for you to reply. So I'll just take it that you can hear. Okay. Titus chapter 3, starting in verses 9 through 11. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Said foolish questions about these things. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sentenced being condemned of himself. So let's go back up to verse 1. Because I want us to understand what these admonitions are. Verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to the principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of Elohim, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by the works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Yeshua HaMashiach, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that you affirm constantly, that they which have believed in Elohim might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Okay, so don't be a speaker don't speak evil. Don't be a brawler. Be ready to every work, good work. Obey the magistrates. Obey principalities and powers. Now, when he's talking about principality and powers, he's talking about the local governments, the governments of the world, but he's also mainly talking about the governments in the church. Because the truth of the matter is, when we look at the governance and the government of the church and what Messiah said, he says we shouldn't be taking anything that we have that has to do with the saints to any church, any court outside of the church. That we are to put ourselves according to the covenant. If we have a dispute, then we're supposed to set up a council that has a priest and a judge on it. And whatever they determine to be right, That's what we have automatically agreed to abide by. And so whatever census they give, whatever fine they give, whoever they rule for or against, we are to be in subjection to it, to those authorities. Okay. Why? For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures. Diverse lusts and pleasures are just different lusts and pleasures because we all, you know, we all ain't into the same things. We're not all into the same things. So, but we got some things that we will put before the Most High that we love greatly. Diverse lusts and pleasures. We take pleasure in some things. We'd be like, oh, that's just, you know, there's no harm in that. But when we really look at the scriptures, the Most High will say, yeah, there's some harm in that. Living in malice and envy, hatred towards somebody, wanting to see them hurt just because we want to see them hurt. And I know there's some people that can drive you to that, but we're supposed to stay away from it. For sure, for sure. Stay away from it. We're supposed to stay away from being what? Hateful. And hating one another. We're supposed to, scripture commands that we love our brothers, especially those of the household of faith. But he says, Messiah said, love your enemies. And so, you know, when we confront them for real, we need to actually show them love. And a lot of times that can be hard. I know it. I'm guilty myself. Some people just rub you the wrong way. And they're doing it intentionally. But, you know, I have to find myself repenting and just saying, you know, hey, I just won't deal with this type of individual because it caused me to sin and be contrary to the way that the Most High says to be. So we're to obey the magistrates, the principalities and powers. If somebody is not doing that, and if somebody is not loving their fellow man or each other, first and second admonitions. Okay. Let us go to Romans chapter 16, and we'll call it a night after this. Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 19. So according to the scriptures, you know, we're supposed to take someone with us. Romans 16, verses 17 through 19.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Verses 17 through 19. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. And do what?
Avoid them.
No, keep them around you causing what? Divisions and offenses.
No, I can't say avoid them.
Avoid them, because you know they're really up to no good.
Mm-hmm.
They're really, this is one of the things that the Most High says he hates. Somebody that causes contention. For they that are such serve not our master Yeshua HaMashiach, but their own what?
Their own
belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. See, a lot of people think because some words sound good and they seem right that this person is a good person, but really they're being contentious.
Mm.
And they sound like they got a good argument for you to believe something else. But he says to do what? Avoid them. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men, and I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Evil is evil. And if somebody is just telling you, somebody's telling you to go against the word of the Most High, and it's really simple in the word of the Most High, but they are sweet talking, and they have a way with words, and they're trying to get you to go otherwise. So to avoid them. Because they're really trying to guide you away from the Most High. They're really trying to guide you unto what is, what they think is what? Right. What they can accept, because it's what they're doing. You know, it's hard for a pastor to teach and to hold people responsible if they're not doing right. If you are all about pleasure, it's hard to preach and teach against being all about pleasure. If you out there committing fornication and adultery, it's hard to teach against those things. Conscience will eat you up. You'd just rather not teach it. And then you have those that are wolves, that don't care. They won't write from the beginning. And they'll tell you exactly what not to do, and then you find out that's exactly what they're doing. So it's hard. You know, if I teach a lesson and I'm guilty in that thing, trust me, the guilt hits me just as hard or harder than it does any of you. Because how can I teach it and then I'm guilty in it? And say, don't do it, and I'm guilty in it. First one that needs to repent is who? Me. Period. So I know when I go to a church, all I got to do is look at the pastor and see what it is that, how he's teaching. And then I'll know what his congregation and everybody in his church is doing or have done, because he's not going to teach anything that he's not going to uphold himself. That's why we get a lot of them that, you know, they're out there, they're still in the world. But they're in the pulpit. Teaching the word of the Most High, but still doing the things of the world. And so they're going to teach the scriptures a certain way. If I ain't up under no law, then I can be out here doing all this stuff. All I got to do is say I'm what? Sorry.
Yep.
Now, I ain't going to say nothing about no Baptist people. If there's any Baptists in here, don't take this personal. But when I was in the Baptist church, the Baptist church would have a basement, and they get through having service, and then on Saturday night, before they have service, they're down in the basement in the church, and this is in the Catholic church too, bumping and grinding in the church, having a dance downstairs in the basement. But then Sunday morning, right there in church. But they were in the church, but in the basement before. The Catholic Church used to rent out the cafeteria, take out all the tables, and that's where we had like our teen dances and stuff at, because they could make money from it. And people in there, drunk, trying to hook up, slow dancing, bumping and grinding, but you on church property. So I'm not telling you things that I heard. I'm telling you things that I went to the Catholic Church. I went to the Baptist Church. I saw these things. So I know that they, you know, it's not just a story, but they actually go on. And so we can't be that way. We have to be different. So we'll pick this up again on next week. We're in paragraph 3 of this. And so we'll look at people who want to be decisive, but they weren't there giving their personal opinion. And if you can show them in the scriptures that what they're saying is not so, and they just choose to reject it, they're being contentious. They're causing division. That's what they're trying to do, trying to find somebody that agrees with them.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if you find somebody like that, you are to put them out. You are to avoid them because they're just trying to cause, you know, a division in the body. So we don't want to be like that. We don't want to deal with those who, everybody's not sent to teach, and everybody's not supposed to be teaching. And a lot of pastors ain't even supposed to be pastors, but they are. And they're responsible for that flock. And he's going to hold, the Most High is going to hold them responsible for every word they utter, for everything they allow. They just have to know that they're going to answer for their own works and what they have done. But, you know, we can't be doing like the world. Let us bow our heads. Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you, Father, for your word, the richness of your word, Father, that we should not walk out of discipline, but that we should be up under your discipline, that we should be up under your authority, and we should walk in your ways, Father, that we should present ourselves a living sacrifice, acceptable and holy unto you. You have said that this is our reasonable service, just as it was Messiah's service to come and die on a cross for us, that we might have a way to come back to you. Each and every saint has the responsibility to offer themselves as a living sacrifice and to bring themselves up under discipline, that we shouldn't sin, that you should not leave us, that we should not be in transgression of your covenant, but that we should be all in under the one agreement, the covenant that Messiah has brought forth, that we should walk according to you. We should be holy as you are holy. That we should not be hateful or hate anyone, even when our buttons are pushed. That we should always come back to you and present ourselves that living sacrifice. Father, we pray that you would give us your mind and your heart. Always send the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, to remind us when we are swaying off the path, that he might bring us back into order. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
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 All right. So we will pick this up in Matthew chapter 18 on next week. And we will be looking at sin in another believer's life, because the scriptures tell us how to handle this. The Most High doesn't leave anything to chance, and we are to conduct ourselves according to his word. So we're going to be looking at sin in another believer's life, how we're to confront it and to confront them. You know, and you know, if they don't want to change, you can't make anybody do anything. But at the same time, you know, we want to, we know that these people are actively, openly sinning. We can't really keep company with them. We have to know what Messiah commands, you know, because we will say that, oh, we are to be forgiving and we're to be loving and we're to forgive 70 times 70. Yeah, if they offend you, we forgive 70 times 70. But if they are out of the word of the Most High, if they're actively sinning, we're told to be another way. So we're going to look at that on next week because we want to walk according to the way he says. And, you know, I truly believe that a lot of times we just, as he says, we declare our righteousness over his. He said, this is acceptable to me. And we'll say, well, you know, I don't exactly agree with that like that. So I'm going to be like this. I think I have leeway. You don't have any leeway where he gives guidance, where he makes a judgment at. There is no appeal above him. So when he says we have to act a certain way, we have to behave a certain way, we are to react to something a certain way, it's his judgment on the matter. We're taking it as a suggestion. We're taking it as, I suggest that you be like this. No, it's not a suggestion. He didn't give us leeway. So that being said, I make a motion that we call this meeting to that we dismiss this meeting. That we, I'm forgetting my official terms now. I make a motion that we end this meeting. All in favor, say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Say nay. The ayes have it. We will pick this up next week for the next meeting. We've gone through three paragraphs in this particular saying. I'll read the first three paragraphs next week, the stuff that we have covered. And then we will start into first two paragraphs we covered. We'll get into the third and the fourth next week. And I will read them to you as they are written. We will have paragraphs 4 and 5 up under discipline to finish. And then we will make a vote on these as they are written. Do we accept them as written? Do we feel needs to be changed? Because we're all agreeing that these are the things we have to abide by. This is the problem that a lot of people get into, is that they have bylaws and then they don't govern themselves by their bylaws. And then when the world government gets involved, then that's where they get in trouble. We're not supposed to be subject to the world government, except for if we're not doing what we say we're doing. And what we're doing, it has to be covered in the bylaws. So that's what we're going through right now. And this is, right now we're on behavior, we're on discipline. This is how we say that we conduct ourselves. And as I said before, if you really understand what we are doing, then you understand that we are citizens in a government outside this world that the world acknowledges, and that we can invoke this citizenship and say, hey, we don't abide by these things under your government. This is our government, and this is our king, and this is his laws, his statutes, and his commandments, and this is what we go by. It's just like, it's the same thing that if you were, we are ambassadors, okay, to the world government. And the community, the churches are supposed to be asylums. They're supposed to be embassies. So, the Catholic Church is about the only one that's really set up the correct way when it comes to this. And if you run into the Catholic Church, the government will not come in there and get you. They won't, because they are recognized as a separate government, and that's what we are doing. So that if somebody runs into us and says that, they're seeking asylum, then we're supposed to give them asylum. And the government is not supposed to have the authority to come in and get them. But only if we're set up in the correct way and we are following the rules that we set in place. Because we're breaking our own law. They're going to say, hey, why should we respect your laws if you don't?
Amen.
Right.
So we got to understand that we're setting up. We're a nation within a nation. And that we are the kingdom of heaven on the earth. And that we are setting up this nation. As I said, the way we are set up, we don't come up under the U.S. government. We are recognized as a separate entity outside of the government, and we're recognized in every country the way we're set up. And so we have to start getting this mentality. We can't be sometimes we're doing this and sometimes we're doing that. No, we have to, all of us have to understand who and what we are. And we have to understand that what we are subject to and what we're not subject to.
Right.
So as an ambassador, you can commit a crime on American soil, and they got to send you back to your own government for what? Punishment. Got to hear these things and understand it. And this is where a lot of churches, a lot of, you know, brothers that are trying to do these things, they don't follow up on the legalese of it. And they don't teach their people the legalese of it. You get an ID card. Citizen of, you know, if you're a citizen of Jamaica, you get a Jamaican ID card, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get a Jamaican passport. It's just that serious. And that's the level that we are at. And that's the level that we're on. And this is how the Most High has had it to be set up. So that we can, you know, if I was a 501c3, I could not talk about gay marriages being sin. Because then the government would say, oh, you're a 501c3. You can't talk about that stuff in the pulpit. We're going to revoke your 501c3 status. And everybody that's in your congregation, every tithe that they pay, they got to pay it back. They got to pay taxes on it. And you got to pay tithes. You got to pay taxes on all those tithes and stuff too. They use it to handcuff them. But we can teach what thus saith Yah Elohim. And we want to keep it that way. But, you know, again, as we grow, you know, as a small group, I can take the time to go through this stuff like this. But as we grow, other people have to be able to teach this. Other people have to be able to understand it, and from what perspective. When we say we are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, that's real. It really is real. But a lot of people don't understand it to the degree that they need to understand it. So they got their feet, you know, they are still dealing with the world from the standpoint, let's say, that they're a United States citizen. No, you got dual citizenship. Which one do you want to enforce? And which one do you want to claim the most? Paul had dual citizenship. He was a Greek citizen. He was a Hebrew citizen. He was a Roman citizen. And he invoked whichever one was what? To his advantage at the time. So you got to understand that he understood the law, and that's why the Most High selected him. He was a lawyer, but he also understood citizenship. He understood government. He understood authority. And we have to understand those things. There are things that we're doing, and I'm quite sure that what happened to my phone tonight was not by accident.
I was
positive of that. Was not by accident. But I already know that you know, they're listening. And that's okay, because I'm only teaching the word of the Most High.
And I hope they learn some.
Right. So we will keep going in the vein that we're going, and we ask the Most High to protect us, all.
Amen. Yes.
Because, you know, and that's why we don't want to be in sin, because we don't want the Most High walking away from us. and saying, you know what, whatever happens, happens, because you wouldn't walk in my ways. So understand that what we're doing is very serious, and what I'm teaching you, I know that what I'm teaching you, I know that it's right and that it's real. And I know that governments and men will come against it.
Yes.
They will come against it. And that's okay. Let them come. If I go down, I'm going to go down for the word of the Most High or for the testimony.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what I'm going to go down for.
Amen.
I'm not going to go down claiming that I'm a Hebrew Israelite.
Hmm.
That ain't why I'm going to be dying.
How they said, for the Father I live, Father I...
Go ahead, sister.
Like they say, for the Father I live, and for the Father I die.
Amen. That's what, you know,
Amen.
That's what the scriptures say. We want
Amen.
To, we're going to die, die for the kingdom.
Amen.
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 Don't die for stuff in this world. Don't die for, you know, your genealogy.
Hmm.
Because the truth of the matter is, you know, we all know the fact that the Most High told us who we are, it was so that we could repent. And that we could, you know, repent for our sins and the sins of our fathers.
Amen.
And we're the only people that have to do that. Because our fathers are the one that dealt directly with the Most High. And we're the only people, according to scriptures, that have to do that. So that's the only reason why he woke us up and told us. That we could come to the knowledge of the truth and repent and turn away from it. And then take up the mission that he gave us from the very beginning.
Yeah.
So we are on it. We plan to stay on it. We don't plan to allow anybody to or anything to deter us. We want to make it into the kingdom. We want to do what Revelation chapter 20 says, that if we die, we want to die for the word of Yah and for the testimony of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Anything else? Anything else is we're falling short of the mark. We're just dying for some stuff, you know, and probably for nothing really, because it's not going to affect our eternity. But dying for the word of Yah and for the testimony of Christ will affect our eternity. So that being said, may the Most High keep you. Morris and Shabbat. And so I believe I know what the precept is already going to be. But I will put it out because I can't call it to mind. I got to look up on my notes I've been making. We're going to title this. But, I know I wanted to bring up. I didn't bring up before. I have updated the calendar with the feast days for 2022. You go to the website and see those feast days. I have updated the new moon services on the calendar. I will update the Title VII letter with the days that people need to request off this year, because our holidays, our feast days, are not like the worldly feast days. They do change dates. Our, you know, Passover is not always on the 15th of September, or, you know, Tabernacles is not always the same day every year. And so so that you can plan your time off, look at the calendar. You have a lot of time to, you know, request if you're working, request from your employer. And, you know, to, you know, if you have holidays or if you have vacation days or sick days, personal days, that you can plan around the feast days of the Most High, to take those off, because the world doesn't observe them. And one of the things that, you know, what I do know is this. If you want to keep the feast days of the Most High and you want to hold your employer's foot to the fire, because they are not days that they keep on their calendar, if you make it a Title VII issue, as part of your worship and your religion, they gotta bend over backwards to try to help you. And they got to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that, you know, they can't have, you know, if you not being there is going to be totally detrimental to the business. And if you make the argument, well, if I go in the hospital, what's going to happen to my job? Somebody's going to,
right.
The work ain't just going to sit here. It's hard for them to make that argument, okay? It's hard for them to, you know, what I used to do was find somebody who liked to go to church on Sunday on my team and say, okay, I'll take every Sunday if you'll take every Saturday.
Right.
And if they were really serious about their church, it'd be all right, okay, cool. But they weren't going out and partying anyway. And we would just hook up like that. And so I would sort of take it out the manager's hands. But if I couldn't find that, then I would go to the manager and say, hey, these are the days that I, you know, that I'm willing to take vacation on these holidays, but like the weekly Sabbath, I need that off. It's part of my worship. You know, when I was with Amazon, we had a four-man team that handled their entire email system for 1 million users, four people. So we were always overworked, always understaffed. But, you know, it came down to where it was 1 week in a month I had to be on call. And you guys know what we would do when I was on call. I got Paige. We still keeping Passover, but I'm going to put you on hold for a minute.
All right.
But all those other weekends, you know, they were mine. So, you know, they'll work with you, and that's the best that they could come up with.
And Brother Miles, you said it was on the website.
Bigger.
What's the website?
Huh?
Did you hear me? You said the calendar was on the website. What's the website? How you get to it? You go to Yah's Global Kingdom?
Yes, it's yahsglobalkingdom.org.
Okay, I'll try.
And then you just go to events, and then it'll have, you know, you can search by yearly feast days or by weekly Sabbath. It should have all of it in there.
Okay.
And so whatever, you know, and if you need a Title VII, letter, I have to update the new date in the Title VII letter, and then I'll put it out there. I'll leave your, you know, the name blank, and you can print it. And I don't like to do it that way because then people will say, well, anybody.
I don't need it because I work. I make my own hours.
And
I thank God for that.
Amen. Well, I've had people who work for the post office and things like that, you know, that, I've given them the letters, and they, you know, they have to fight with their employer. I said, but here's your rights right here. So, you know, you need to take it to HR, whatever. But, you know, sometimes you got to fight for your own rights.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, but here's your authority, and here is it saying that, you know, this is official. This is what we officially observe, and it asks that employer to please comply with the Title VII law concerning freedom of religion, and this is what we observe. So the people who I've provided those letters to in the past, they're not here right now, but they call in here and there. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, I'll put the updated letter on the website. And, you know, for all those who are, I'm going to say users, how do I mean that? They're not really involved with the ministry, but they want to use the ministry for everything they can get out of it. If they use that letter and their company calls and say, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. I won't do it that way, but I'll be like, I would talk with that individual.
Just don't put it up, Brother Miles. To keep that down. Just don't put it up. And if somebody needs it, let them ask for it. Let them request it.
Yeah, well, that's what I've done in the past. But you know, I think in the times coming up, I may not have the time to be as personal as I've been being in the past. So some things I need to make it available. And this is something that, you know, maybe eventually I'll hire a secretary or have one of the sisters act in that behalf and give them access to that.
Right.
Or even a mail, you know, and let them, you know, people contact them.
Right,
because
okay.
There'll be times that I'm out of pocket. I might be up on the land and I'm not, you know, available by cell phone.
Right, okay.
I don't have access to a computer and stuff like that. So, you know, it can't just be me.
Right,
and,
okay.
So I, you know, I'm trying to make it as easy as possible for people to comply or, you know, help them out in any way that I can. And as I know.
And any
you
way
know,
that you feel that I can help you, let me know, because I don't mind doing whatever I can.
Man.
Amen. Then, you know, I might be getting with you.
Okay.
But, you know.
All
right, amen. Amen. Well, I'm not going to hold you sisters up any longer. I say pray for the families that are in the ministry that are with us. Sometimes we don't hear them, and sometimes because you don't see online what I see, a lot of people will be here, but they're not saying anything. But they'll call me in private. You know, they're going through stuff. And so, you know, just pray for people in general that they be delivered. That their families be delivered from, you know, all kind of different demon possession to, you know, just flat out. They just have a hard time in life.
Right.
Just pray that Yah, you know, meets them where they're at. You know, that you know, my thing is trying to get them to fully to commit to the Most High. You know, can't be sometimes. But you got to be fully committed and walk in his ways all the time. You can't call on the Most High when you're in trouble. So just pray for the saints. And, you know, Yah is as many as he shall call. That's who we're looking for. We're looking for the faithful, those who are going to be faithful in this walk. Because I said, what we're doing, I know that the world has killed people for this. Okay, and we are in the last days. That don't mean that they won't come against us.
Sure.
That's why certain things I don't want to tell. And it's not out of fear. It's out of being as wise as a serpent.
Right.
But it's as a dove. Okay,
right.
It's not out of fear. Trust me, I'm not fearing them for those things or anything like that. But I know that it is just not a wise thing if you're in war to tell the enemy your battle plan.
Yeah, amen. You're right.
Don't do that. So that being said, may the Most High encampment angels around you. May they keep you safe. From all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family.
Shalom.
Hello.
What can I do if I don't have you? true love no need. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. One time, push a button. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always